Spinning Silver by Naomi Novik. Chapter 1. The real story isn't half as pretty as the one you've heard. The real story is the miller's daughter with her long golden hair wants to catch a lord, a prince, a rich man's son. So she goes to the moneylender and borrows for a ring and a necklace and decks herself out for the festival. And she's beautiful enough. So the lord, the prince, the rich man's son notices her and dances with her and tumbles her in a quiet hayloft when the dancing is over. And afterwards, he goes home and marries the rich woman his family has picked out for him. Then the miller's despoiled daughter tells everyone that the moneylender's in league with the devil, and the village runs him out, or maybe even stones him. So at least she gets to keep jewels for a dowry, and the blacksmith marries her before the firstborn child comes along a little early. Because that's what the real story's about, getting out of paying your debts. That's not how they tell it, but I knew. My father was a moneylender, you see. And so opens Spinning Silver, this year's big read. Retelling classic fairy tales is the stuff of each generation. And Naomi Novik gives us a beautifully told, deeply thought through retelling of the classic Rumpelstiltskin tale with her own twists. For in Spinning Silver, a young woman, Miriam, is the daughter of a rural town's money lender. As her family falls deeper and deeper into poverty, and her father cannot bring himself to confront those who owe him the money he has lent them, young Miriam takes it upon herself to recoup the loans her father had made, but never has the heart to collect. Seeing and more importantly experiencing the daily stoic agony of her mother ailing while her kind-hearted father dithers, young Miriam finds the steely resolve, one might say icy resolve, to demand what is rightly her family's, with a modest interest added, and finds that once she begins to ask, this becomes the daily theme of her life. Miriam is indeed a money lender, and slowly she builds back the family's finances. At the behest of her financially savvy grandfather, who lives, of course, in a faraway city of her land, Miriam hires a young assistant, a young girl, Wanda, and soon her younger brother, who are living hand-to-mouth on their rural one-parent failing farmstead. Miriam's new hires happily take on the servant roles to which they have been called, receiving for the first time in their young lives actual coin for their efforts. Coin that they can use for their own family's well-being and their own sense of dignity, something rare in their lives before their employer by the moneylender's daughter. Now, Spinning Silver, as I noted, is a fairy tale, and so, enter the villains. As her money-lending skills gain traction in her village, Miriam comes to the attention of the evil fairy people, known as the Striker, a literally icy segment of fairy folk who bring with them a wintry pall as they intersect with the rural folks. As I've said, Miriam's skills at money-lending draws the attention of the gold-hungry Striker folk, and their king commands that Miriam change Striker silver coins into gold. Using her skills, and under threat of becoming a literal ice queen, Miriam succeeds. So well that she is betrothed and then forced into marriage with the evil fairy king, who commands his new wife continue her spinning of silver into gold for the rest of her life. It is up to Miriam to navigate her way through and ultimately out of this Rumpelstiltskin-themed fate. But we're not done with our story, far from it. Throw in another spunky young woman who lives in wealth, quite a contrast from the world Miriam inhabits, in that distant provincial town. Irana's ducal father gets her married to the demon-laced czar of the land, and along with Miriam, who marries the dread Ice King, lest he turn her to ice, and her quiet laboring friend Wanda, we have a modern theme tale. A tale of female empowerment that masterfully weaves modern themes with a comfort-level food of a story. The bad guys are sharply and boldly drawn here. The Ice King of the Fairy Folk Stark and his minions spread fear and mayhem as they pillage towns and homesteads in their never-ending quest for gold, gold, gold. They are scary, scary dudes. As Novik describes him, Stark didn't look so terribly strange at first. That was what made him truly terrible. But as I kept looking slowly, his face became something inhuman, shaped out of ice and glass, in his eyes like silver knives. He was beardless, like a boy, but his face was a grown man's. And he was tall, too tall when he drew near and loomed over me like a marble statue in the square of Visnia, carved larger than life. He wore his long white hair in long braids. His clothes, just like his purse, were in all that unnatural white leather. And he was riding a stag, larger than a draft horse, with antlers branched 12 times and hung with clear glass drops. And when he put out its red tongue to lick his muzzle, his teeth were sharp as a wolf's. I wanted to quail, to cower. Instead, I held my fur cloak tight at the throat, with one hand against the chill that rolled off him, and with my other, I held out the purse I carried to him as he came close to the sleigh. He paused, surveying me out of one silver-blue eye with his head turned sideways like a bird looking me over. He put out his gloved hand and took the bag, and he opened it and poured the 6 gold coins out into the cup of his hand. The faint jingle loud in the silence around us. The coins looked different in his hand, warm and sun-bright, shining against the unnatural cold white of his glove. He looked down at them and seemed surprised and also vaguely disappointed, as though he was sorry I'd managed it. He poured them back into the bag and pulled the drawstring tight around the golden light, like closing away a sunbeam, and the bag beneath his long cloak was placed. The Stark Road was a wide, shining lane behind him, just through the trees. He turned his steed toward it without saying a word, taking those 6 gold coins I had given and gotten with my work, in fear as though they were only his due. And anger rose up in me. "I'll need longer next time if you need more of them changed," I called after him, throwing my words against the hard, icy silence like a shell around us. Turned his head round and stared at me, as though surprised. I dared to speak to him. And then the sharp antlered deer took a step into the road, and he wasn't there any more. There is the stark, silver-poisoned sycophant, the young czar, who may indeed have a whisper of magical power at his command. But as the exalted leader of his nation, his own life is anything but safe and secure. Novik builds her story on a foundation of East European Jewish history and folklore with a healthy dollop of old-world rural Christian society that is once hierarchical and riven with fear of the other, with rampant poverty and neighborly curiosity, artfully weaving elements of historical reality with peasant superstition and awe. At one point, capturing the wonder of arithmetic, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, as a kind of shareable magic. Elements of fantasy that complement instead of interrupting the ignorant but savvy-inspired mind spinning silver is built around. And let me add that I'm in awe of Novik's ability to grab a hold of a long-despised, if necessary, rule in society, that of money-lending. She fashions it into a means to empower her characters out of poverty, a fairy tale premise that rightly stands small-minded prejudice on its head. And much to its credit, Spinning Silver shows us there is no need for exhausting chase scenes across continents to spur a sprawling story. From the first chapter, we're alternately sunk into and then jettisoned out of the village setting, which provides the backdrop and the life for so much of this novel. Novik's playful use of fairy tale imagery and themes allows her to transport us beyond the lives she explores with us in these pages. And I think it's worth noting here the steadfast endurance of fairy tales around the world, in cultures near and far in time and geographic distance. The fairy tale themes that come to the fore in Spinning Silver offer so much to help us understand basic human nature, be it greed, kindness, duplicity, or friendship. That is once again made clear why the fairy tale and storyline is such an endearing and enduring literary and pop culture mainstay for generations of readers and listeners. By the way, try reading some of this out loud to your book group, to your kids, to yourself. I think it will add yet another layer of excitement and joy to your experience. In the end, I'm glad to join the many reviewers who laud this book as a magical trip into the world which we gladly get lost. Quote, "I love this book so much," wrote another reviewer, "the kind of love that is peculiar to inhabiting the perspective of young women with agency and the relationships they form when relying on each other. I feel like I should have experienced this novel in some beautiful rose garden, under the stars, on the biggest bed, with silk sheets, laughing maniacally as I burn letters from ex-lovers and eat green tea ice cream with a tiny spoon. It was that iconic." End quote. One final note, Spitting Silver is this year's One Great Read, a cooperative venture by the Purdue English Department with our local public libraries and bookstores to encourage all of us to read, enjoy, and discuss a common book this fall. Let's finish by finishing that opening idea expressed by Naomi Novik's Miriam, the first time she meets the Striker King. "Turned his head around and stared at me, as though surprised I'd dare to speak to him. And then the sharp antlered deer took a step into the road and wasn't there anymore. Oleg shook himself all over and chirped to the horse, and we were trotting again. I fell back into the blanket, shivering as though the air had gone suddenly much colder. The tips of my fingers, where I'd held out the purse, were numbed. I pulled off my glove and tucked them underneath my arm to warm them up, wincing as they touched my skin. A feathery snowfall began to come down around us as we drove the rest of the way." What a wonderful, charming, insightful read. This year's big read, Spinning Silver, with that heroine, Miriam. I'll long remember her. It's by Naomi Novik. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library. Thank you for listening.